This is the Faith Conversations podcast. Here, we bring people of faith to the table for honest and authentic conversations about personal faith journeys and what it is like to have a personal relationship with God. Hey friends, welcome to the Faith Conversations podcast. This is Jessica Cabrera, your host. I'm really excited to be here today with you for another special edition episode. This is going to be another solo episode, just me and you. I have something that I want to talk with you guys about that is actually kind of related to what I talked about last week. I just talked about the ways that God communicates, so that if you feel like God doesn't communicate with you, or that you don't know what God is saying or what He wants to say to you, there are ways that He communicates that message, and I went over those ways last week. So definitely feel free to go back and listen to last week's episode to catch up. But today I want to talk about how we respond to God. And this is something that it has been a perpetual struggle for me. So I am going to share some personal examples of how I have struggled to respond to God, but also how amazing God is in prompting me to do things that I don't want to do because He has bigger things in mind. And so I will do my best to try to put words to this idea today. I think I want to start out I will tell you about my life and some of these things, but I have a story, an account from the Bible that's documented in the Bible, in the book of Acts, about someone who struggled to respond to God. And then when he did, it ended up having a domino effect that is impacting you and me today, even if we're not thinking about it. So I think I want to start with that, and then I'll tell you about my own personal struggles with this and kind of what God has done, or at least what He's currently doing, so that you can learn. And spoiler alert, some of the examples that I'm going to give you from my own life are actually with regards to this podcast and the ways that I do different ministry right now. So you can kind of hear my hot off the press struggles with hearing from God and responding to God. But the idea is for all of us to realize how great God is and how trustworthy He is, and how responding to Him genuinely is the better way. So I'll start out with this story from the Bible. If you're not familiar with it, hopefully this will be an awesome introduction. But if you are, then I know it is not something that you can get tired of hearing. Many people have heard of the Apostle Paul. If you've been around Christianity at all or in the church, then you're most likely familiar with the Apostle Paul because he wrote the majority of the New Testament. And the thing that I am not sure, you know, people who've been in the Christian circles for a long time, or especially people who are students of the Bible, will be very familiar with Paul's story. But folks who haven't studied the Bible or don't know a whole lot about the history of Paul's life might not realize that the man that wrote the majority of the New Testament, who was fundamental in starting the first, churches after the resurrection of Christ, is someone who was actually killing and prosecuting Christians prior to his own personal conversion. And so really think that it's interesting to look at his story to see how all of that happened. So the Apostle Paul originally went by the name Saul, and he was persecuting Christians the book of Acts verse 3 says, Saul was ravaging the church, entering house after house. He was dragging off men and women and committing them to prison. Then at the very beginning of chapter 9 of Acts, the book of Acts, it talks about how he's breathing threats and murder against the disciples of Jesus. And he even went to the high priest and got these letters that were basically like arrest reports, or, you know, like permission to arrest people. And so that anyone that he found belonging to what they called the Way, the capital W Way, whether it was men or women, that he could bound them up and drag them to Jerusalem to be to then be prosecuted, which ultimately would typically lead to death. So while he is on his way to another town to do this, the name of that town was Damascus, he had this incredibly divine experience where a light from heaven came around him. He fell to the ground. He could hear a voice calling his name, "Saul, Saul, why are you persecuting me?" And he kind of looked up and said, "Who are you?" And he heard back, "I am Jesus, whom you are persecuting. But rise and enter the city, and you will be told what you are to do." And he was traveling with other people. They heard the voice as well, but could see no one. And everyone was astounded. And so he stumbled to his feet, but he was completely blind. He could not see. So they had to walk him hand by hand into the town of Damascus. And he was there for 3 days, completely blind, could not see. It was just this out of the blue, crazy experience where he fell blind. And he didn't eat, he didn't drink. Well, meanwhile, so in the town of Damascus where he was headed, there was a guy that is not, I mean, just got a quick mention in the Bible here. He was a disciple of Jesus who lived in Damascus. His name was Ananias, and he had a vision. So he's like at home or whatever, and he has this random vision, and he hears Ananias, and he said, "Here I am, Lord." And the Lord said to him, "Rise and go to the street called Straight at the house of Judas. Look for a man of Tarsus." So he knew, you know, where he's from, this guy from Tarsus named Saul. And he tells him that Saul has seen a vision of a man named Ananias who comes in and lays his hands on him so that he might regain his sight. And so Ananias actually answers the Lord and says, "Lord, I've heard from others about this man and how much evil he has done to all of the other believers." I mean, and he's like, he has the authority, like he actually has arrest warrants right now to be able to bind up people like me. But the Lord said to him, "Go, for he is a chosen instrument of mine to carry my name before the Gentiles and the kings and the children of Israel." And Ananias went, and he entered this guy's house, and he laid hands on him, and he said, "Saul, the Lord Jesus, who appeared to you on the road by which you came, sent me so that you can regain your sight and be filled with the Holy Spirit." And as soon as he did that, something like scales fell off of Saul's eyes. He regained his sight. He rose, and he was immediately baptized. And that was the beginning of Saul, that God ended up giving him the name of Paul with his conversion, began to proclaim that Jesus was the Son of God. And from that point forward is where all the other things that you've probably heard about the Apostle Paul happened. But it came out of this experience I'm just telling you about. And so I want to hone in on the topic of how we respond to God, because do you know how easy it would have been for Ananias to see how utterly terrifying it would be to be sent by God to go into the household of the man who is arresting and persecuting believers? And he could just say, "God, that doesn't make any sense. That's not safe. I know that you want my well-being. I know you want me, you know, I know that you care about me and love me. So therefore, you must not be telling me to do this. This must not be what you want me to do. So therefore, I'm not going to do it." But first of all, God was persistent, which has been my experience as well. He circled back around. He reaffirmed with Ananias what he was saying to do. And he even shared why, so that Ananias had even more understanding of why this was so important. And then Ananias obeyed. and he did the thing that was hard to do, that he felt like God was leading him to do, because he trusted and obeyed God. So we can see this domino effect that has happened over time because of this fella from a town called Damascus who heard from God and obeyed. And I think of this in my life because if you've listened to, there's a special edition episode where I share about my own kind of surrender and the ways that God has led me. There have been 5 different times in my life when God has called me to relocate to somewhere that I did not want to go for reasons that I did not understand. And they've been really hard. It's been really, really hard to obey God whenever I didn't want to do what he was asking me to do, and I did not understand why I needed to do what he was asking me to do. And my family and I have been on this journey, and I've been able to see the hand of God orchestrating things in real time. I mean, I've seen God ask me to do things that made no sense to me, and then I've seen how he carried out that story over time in order to accomplish his perfect will, to write his story, which is way better than the story that I would have written without him. And this is his nature. This is his character. So I've had all of these other occurrences. I know that I talk about the 5 relocations and how God has worked in our life in these crazy ways to ask us to relocate when we don't want to. But this happens all the time, guys. And I was struggling before even coming to record this episode for you, because I feel really vulnerable to confess my own struggle with saying yes to God whenever it doesn't make sense to me. But I think that it's probably, you know, I hope that it will be helpful to you for me to even share a few of these things. And I want to focus in specifically on me doing more public facing ministry. I don't know if you guys know the story of how this podcast got started, but I actually was facilitating an in-person event called Faith Conversations. And when it was over, people were coming up saying that they wanted more. And so in a parking lot conversation, somebody said, well, you should host a podcast. I was like, absolutely not. I'm not doing that. And after it came up 2 or 3 times, I still kept on saying, no, I had no intention of hosting a podcast. Absolutely not. Can't do that. Well, a friend of mine, this is the reason why it's good to be in community, says to me, well, have you prayed about it? And I very convictedly was like, no, but I don't really want to, because I already know the answer, because I can't do it. So I'm not going to do it. But at that point I knew, okay, I've got to pray. I've got to at least go to God about this. I can't take this matter into my own hands. So I wrote down in my journal the reasons why I could not do a podcast, and I narrowed it down to top 2 reasons. And one of the reasons was because I just didn't think it needed to be me. I was really kind of, I just felt like anybody could do it. You know, like why do I have to be the person to do it? There are other people that would be great at this. And I have a very busy life. I work full time. I've got 2 kids. I had a kid going off to college, another kid in high school, and a very demanding job. And I just thought, I can't, this is not for me. This is, somebody else could do this. I don't know how to host a podcast, you know? And I was praying about this. I took that reason to the Lord. I was praying about it specifically, and I was like, God, so please just release, like, I don't want to do this, but maybe you can make a way for somebody else to do this. And right as I prayed that, I had my earbuds in because I was on the train going to DC, and the song that is very familiar to a lot of people, but this Christian song came on in that moment, and music definitely speaks to me, but it's the song Made for More. And the chorus of the song says, because I wasn't made to be tending a grave. I was called by name, born and raised back to life again, I was made for more. So why would I make a bed in my shame when a fountain of grace is running my way? I know I am yours and I was made for more. As I heard that chorus sung in my ears, I still didn't have my answer about the podcast, but it was like he was waking up my mind and my spirit to say, you've got to think bigger. You know, you've got to realize that your limited capabilities, your limited time, all of that is real. It's a real thing, but I made you for more. And so if I'm doing it, you can do it, you know? And I don't know, again, I didn't have full clarity in that moment, but it definitely woke up my spirit to say, okay, there's something bigger going on here. I'm being really selfish in my response. And so I'll just keep on praying. So I went to my next thing. And my next thing was just really just about my kids and about my time. I had a kid that had not yet decided where he was going to go to college. So we were in the process of college visits and final decisions and final SAT scores and all of these things. And then I knew what was coming. It was going to be, you know, applications and everything else. And then after he got in somewhere, then he'd have to make a decision. Then after the decision, we'd have to move him off to wherever he was going to go. And I just knew that it was a lot. And meanwhile, I've got another child who's at the time was, you know, a freshman in high school, an athlete, has a lot going on. And I'm just thinking, I just need a couple more years to be able to get my kids like off on their own, you know? And so I went to God. I can kind of feel you prompting me, but practically speaking, this just does not work for me. Can I please not do this until after my kids are out of the house? In a few years, I can do this. And right after I prayed that to God, I'm still on the train. I have a 45-minute commute, so I had time. Another song comes on. And like, I wasn't even paying attention to the songs that were playing in between, but I pray this and then boom, right in my ears, another song, also pretty well-known song. The title of the song is What Are You Waiting For? And the chorus of that song is, so what are we waiting for? What are we waiting for? Why are we wasting all the time like someone's going to make more? What are we praying for? What are we saving for? What if we could be the light that no one could ignore? What are you waiting for? And when I heard the line, what if we could be the light that no one could ignore? I just paused and I thought, oh my gosh. I'm sitting here. My time restrictions are real. They're genuinely a challenge, something I'm going to have to figure out. But is it worth waiting 3 or 4 years to get the faith journey stories of people out into the world so that those who need to hear truth and encouragement to draw them near to God, for their souls to be saved, for their souls to be encouraged, for them to grow in their Christian faith, or for them to come to Jesus for the first time. Is it really worth it, Jessica, to wait 3 or 4 years for that to happen? If God is saying, do it, what are you waiting for? Because what if we could be the light that someone can't ignore? And right then I was like, I think I'm supposed to do this. And I called the person that I had been talking to this about. And I said, I think God wants me to host this podcast. And from that point forward, that was in like June of 2024. And it was the beginning of a trickle effect of God showing me that he wanted me to use my voice and my communication skills and the fact that I'm a talker. He wanted to use that for his work on earth. And if you listen to the last podcast about communicating, you'll know that, you know, I talk about how I'm a communicator, but I've always had a hard time understanding, why did God make me this way? Why did God make me to be a person who has to be expressive about everything that I understand and everything that I want to communicate to someone else? And God started to reveal to me, I've made you expressive because I want you to express who I am to others. And so he just started to call me into a more public space, which made me feel very, very uncomfortable. But I was starting to see clearly that he was doing something. So next up, I won't go through all the details, but God gave me a message that I sat down to write two sentences one morning, and I ended up writing for hours, and I ended up with 15 pages, and I prayed to God, oh my gosh, what is this? What are these pages? How am I supposed to use this? And he affirmed with me through lots of prayer and walking through my neighborhood and asking God these questions, Jessica, this is a message to be spoken, not a message to be written. Or, you know, it's not a written word, it's a spoken word. And I thought, okay, well, where do you want me to speak this? And I started to get a little excited because I do some public speaking through my career. And so I thought, okay, I can do this. Like, I can do public speaking. I've done that before. And I start praying and I'm thinking, okay, surely there's some women's retreat or there's, you know, a conference somewhere that needs a speaker. And I do that all the time for work. So I could just like go to a Christian conference and just do this message at a Christian conference. And as I prayed about it, I will never forget. I was walking through my neighborhood asking God where he wanted this to be. And he told me, Columbia, South Carolina, which is where I am from. And that's where my family is. And that's where I lived for 14 years as an adult and where my two kids were born. And him asking me to do this in Columbia, South Carolina was so uncomfortable for me. I was like, no, I'll go out to Arizona or I'll go to Oregon. I'll go to Maine. I'll go to Florida. You know, send me to a corner of the U.S. and I'll do this, but not Columbia, South Carolina, because those are my people. That's way too close to home. This is vulnerable. This is, you know, it's easy for me to do this if I don't know the people in the room, but if I know everyone in the room, that's really hard. So please know I'm not going to do that. And once again, I'm just reflecting on this idea that God prompts us to do things that are uncomfortable, like Ananias going to Saul, who was persecuting Christians, laying his hands on him in order for his blindness to go away by the power of God. And God asks us to do things that we don't want to do, but that are according to his will for his purposes. And so, guys, that's actually how the public aspect of this ministry got started. It wasn't with the podcast. It was actually with an event in Columbia, South Carolina on December 28th of 2024. And then we come into 2025 and the website was launched at some point. I don't even know the date. It might have actually been in 24 when the website went live. But then, you know, the podcast launches in 2025. And when all of this is happening, I have another example. I'll give you this last example of things that God asked me to do in this ministry that I didn't want to do. And that is actually with the name and the brand, I guess, of my stuff. I wanted a graphic with a ministry name that was just something compelling that people would want to read or listen to, but I didn't want it to have my name on it. I didn't want it to have my face on it. I was very uncomfortable with all of that. And at She Speaks, the people said, oh yeah, best practice is that it should be your name. You can do it the other way. That works for some people, but the best practice is you should just have your website be your name, have things be in your name because you're the person with your name. And I thought, oh yeah, that's great for some people, but not me. I'm never going to do that. And I went through a process of trying to develop whatever was going to be the public facing URL and branding and logo and whatnot for the site. And I went through 75 different options, narrowed it down to 3, then narrowed it down to 2, then narrowed it down to 1. I was working with someone who was helping me. And she said, sleep on it and we'll talk tomorrow and maybe this is it. And so I slept on it. And I woke up the next morning and I had this unrest in my spirit. I just felt like it was not right. And I was going to God. I have this chair in my office, in the corner of my office, where I go and talk to God. And I went and sat in my chair. It's like a therapy chair, seriously, because God gives me therapy on a daily basis. But I go and sit in my therapy chair and I'm talking to God and I'm like, God, why? I'm so frustrated. I've been asking you for weeks on end what you want this ministry to be called. And now I finally came up with something that I feel like connects with my vision and what you've put on my heart. And I don't feel good about it. What is going on? Will you please just tell me? So I started to think, why do I not feel good about it? And I thought, well, actually, the reason I don't feel good about it is because it's not able to be translated or interpreted easily in Spanish. And I was surprised because I've never intended to do the ministry in Spanish or anything that wasn't part of what I had been thinking. But I am bilingual. My household is bilingual. All of my husband's family is only Spanish speaking. And so it bothered me that I could have like this huge part of my life that was only easy to understand in English. And so I thought I want it to at least be able to be easily translated. And the one that I had picked was not easily translated. It was not going to relay well in Spanish. And so I was praying to the Lord and I was saying, God, what do you want me to do? What name is out there that is clearly a good English and Spanish option for me? And God just opened my eyes, and all of a sudden it was like he said, Jessica, your name is bilingual. And I was like, oh no, 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 no. I'm not doing my name. I am not using my name. Because if we use my name, we have to use my face, and I'm definitely not using my face. That feels so self-promoting. I do not want my face or my name out there. I just want to be behind the scenes and just pushing your message out there, but with me in the background. And God just persisted with me, Jessica, your name is bilingual. You need to use your name. And it was so hard for me to bite that bullet. It was so hard for me to decide, okay, Lord, I'm going to obey you. I don't understand it. I don't want to. It makes me feel really uncomfortable, but I'm going to obey you. And that sent me on a whole journey of having to create. I mean, if you go to my website, it's like my face and my expressions and everything everywhere. And I love it. I'm so thankful for it. And I'm so thankful for the opportunity to do this work with you guys in my free time. But I have to be honest, it like feels very uncomfortable and it's not what I had envisioned. The fact that it seems self-promoting really bothers me. But I'm honestly, the reason why it has my face on there and the reason why it has my name is because that's what God told me to do. And it feels uncomfortable to me, but it's something that I feel like was the right thing to do. And I've done it. And so here we are, here we are. There's a URL and there's a site and you can visit jessicacabrera.org. You can look at the podcast icon. You'll see my face. You know, there's just no anonymity at all. And that's the way God wanted it, apparently. So the story is still being written. I don't understand it all, but those are just some practical, simple examples, not nearly like Ananias being sent to a murderer, but just simply the actual practical, simple ways in this ministry that God has been asking me to do things that I didn't want to do that felt scary and vulnerable and hard for me. And the way that he has graciously stayed with me, he's reiterated for me that that's what he wants, just like he did with Ananias. He has revealed to me some of the reason why he wants it, just like he did with Ananias. And then that compels me to follow him because I know that his way is better. And I know that his ideas are better than my ideas. And I know that there are people out there who are completely lost and spiritually devastated and who have not found freedom and who have not found peace. And so if me putting my name out there means that maybe somebody will be able to find that spiritual freedom through Christ, then it's worth it. And if me speaking in Columbia, South Carolina, instead of the middle of nowhere, Arizona, means that it's going to be following God's way and not my way, then apparently it's going to be better. And so I've just had to do the things that he asked me to do, even though I don't feel comfortable, and trust that he's in control, because the stories that he writes are better stories than the story that I would ever write. So I hope that this has been an encouraging message to you today. I want you to really think about, in light of last week's conversation about the ways that he communicates with us, I want you to think about what are the ways that we respond to him, and what can you do in your life to respond to him in a new and fresh way in order to experience more of who he is and what he's doing in your life. I hope this has been an encouragement to you, and I look forward to having you back next week. Thanks. Go to the description of today's episode to find more information about what we discussed. If you like this podcast, please click follow, share it with a friend, or leave us a review. And get excited, because new episodes release every week.